Welcome to this Palm Sunday sermon on March 25th, 2018. We had a few technical difficulties, so we'll be joining Melissa as she preaches about 5 minutes into the sermon.
Then the religious leaders say something. Did you catch it in the scripture reading? See, the whole world has gone after him. Because Jesus doesn't come to lead a political uprising in Jerusalem. That thinking is too small. Jesus isn't interested in reimagining the structures or reinforcing nationalism. Instead, the whole world has gone after him. Jesus has come for the world. Today's gospel reading includes two verses from the Old Testament that get stuck together. They're from two different prophecies, but they actually tell us something really important, both of them, Zephaniah and Zechariah. And here the story isn't about Israel's king. This is about a God who comes in to gather up outcasts. We see a God making it possible for the whole world to be gathered up, for all people to worship God, for people to stream to God from every nation. At that time, I will change the speech of the people to pure speech, the prophet writes, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him of one accord. Liberation isn't for Israel. It isn't just for the Jews. It's for everyone. See, the whole world has gone after him. I wonder if maybe right now you're thinking that that sounds like a great history lesson. Unlike the people of ancient Jerusalem, I would guess that we actually don't expect that much from Jesus. Regardless of what we say, most of us live like Jesus is a mythical creature, an ethical nice guy or a sage there in the background of real life. But while Jesus may most of the time be a kind of philosophical exercise for us, Jesus actually has been and is salvation for those who are in the despair of violence and trauma. There are people today who can attest to being followers who have foolishly walked towards death and hardship to be alongside of those who struggle for survival. You all may remember I was in Nicaragua a few months ago, and the woman who led our delegation had met Mennonites in the 1980s. Decades of U.S. military governments had given way to this massive turmoil in the country. Everyone had a loved one who had died in one of these rebellions. And that's how Felicia came to know Mennonites. They were in Nicaragua at the height of the violence, working to support local communities, to offer aid and shelter and peacemaking and support. I asked Felicia if there are Mennonites in Nicaragua now. Not anymore, she said. Things are better here. Mennonites go where things are bad. Felicia brought to mind one particular Sunday at Portland Mennonite Church. That Sunday, there was this special arrangement on the worship table, and a note in the bulletin said it was in honor of the Tet Offensive, the firebombings during the Vietnam War that resulted in thousands of deaths of civilians. And I was not at my best, and I rolled my eyes a little bit, thinking, like, this is, like, such a Mennonite thing to do, right, to remember the anniversary of the Tet Offensive. But then, during the service, a couple got up, an elderly couple, and they told us how they had been in with Mennonite Central Committee working in Vietnam during the Tet Offensive. They'd been there in the middle of the bombings and in the aftermath with the village burning all around them. Someone later told me that they believed MCC workers had, their hut had been purposefully avoided in the bombings because Mennonites had refused to take sides in the war. They just said they'd help anyone who needed it. They care for anyone, tend to anyone's medical needs. They educated children, taught them how to farm, both those who were bombed and those who were bombing. I carry those stories around with me, like stones I keep in my pocket, that I can pull out and feel the weight of when church or my faith feels incomprehensible. For me, these stories help me understand the faith, and that my faith is the same as a second century pageboy named Alexamenos. Jesus comes to Jerusalem on a donkey. The people who watch see Jesus riding in on the symbolism of nationalism and political change. We have a history of a church wanting this kind of Jesus. It begins with Constantine. It winds its way into the papal states and down to the moral majority. This donkey symbolizes our desire for our way, our faith, our values to form the political world, one we will bring to pass through any means necessary. It's coercion, violence, war. But there's another donkey in this story. There's Alexamenos' donkey, a people worshiping this crucified donkey man. Friends, this is a sign of utter failure, of absolute defeat, of profound foolishness and absurdity. And if you continue along this path, if you continue along the way of Jesus, you'll come to find that this is our God too. This is a God who refused the narrow path of nationalistic reform and instead opened up a way of life for all people, fulfilling these Old Testament prophecies that one day God would put down something in the world that creates a new way of being for all of us, a foolish belief that life comes from death. We believe this foolish, foolish thing of going into places in the world that are falling apart and making plain that God's love knows no boundaries. And we believe this unto death. That looks like failure in our world. It's a failure of too much love. Love expanding to those you may not want to be loved, to people you have looked at and decided that they deserve nothing. The week before communion, we take some time to repent of that. Preparation for communion is an old practice for Mennonites. We do it because we believe that something in us is broken, that we want Jesus to ride in on the donkey of our nationalism, to right the world through domination and control. So perhaps you'll join me this week, and you'll take a minute to search out the corners of your own life, to find where you've made Jesus too small, where you have made someone or something unredeemable. Because when we return next week, it will be Easter. Death will lose, and we will tell everyone that we don't have to be afraid anymore, that God has come into the world, and this love is extending beyond, beyond what we could have ever imagined. Next week, we'll worship the God of Alexamenos. I wanted to tell you one other interesting thing about the graffiti that this archaeologist discovered in Rome. In the next chamber down from the one where this crucified donkey was found, there's a single line scrolled into the wall. We don't know if it was written by Alexamenos or by someone standing up for him, but we can read what it says. Alexamenos fidelis. Alexamenos is faithful. Thousands of years later, we are also asked to be faithful to this love, to a God humiliated on a cross, a God whose expansive love looks a lot like foolishness, but also a lot like hope. We brought in these palm branches today in memory of Palm Sunday, and I think it's time for us to put them down, our own hopes for the world, and recognize that God's expansive love is perhaps moving in ways we can't understand. So during the next song, if you'd like to, I'd invite you to come forward and lay this at the foot of the cross, as a way for us to begin this new story of God's ever-expanding love all of the nations of the earth flowing towards this person, Jesus, the crucified God.